The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 18, verse from 18 to 23. It is page 220 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Centuria because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Amen. I can't express enough how happy I am to see you all again. Although it'll be just once a month this year, I give glory to God who had mercy on me to stand at this podium again. And sincerely thank you for waiting for me with prayer and patience. The Bible harshly evaluates the death of man who undervalues God. A man reaps what he sows. From that biblical point of view, there is not any value in the death of man who neglect God. Since Israel had divided into south and north, Jehoshaphat, the fourth king of the southern kingdom, had seven sons. King Jehoshaphat died and turned over the throne to the eldest son, Jehoram, and to other six sons, many gifts of silver and gold and articles of value, as well as fortified cities in Judea. The first thing the eldest son, Jehoram, did after having the kingdom from his father and solidifying his power was to kill his six brothers and all the people close to them. It was for him to exclusively possess the cities and the huge property, and also to get rid of those who could potentially challenge his authority. He married a daughter of Ahab, king of the north, one of the filthiest kings in the whole history of Israel, and took the lead in spiritual decadence of people by setting up high places in many mountains. As such, Jehoram committed everything he wanted to do with using his power. Simply put, he was corrupt and acted like God, right in front of God. He died of rupture, a severe disease in which part of your body bursts open 8 years after he became a king. The Second Chronicles 21:20 testifies him, saying, "He passed away to no one's regret." Jehoram wasn't just an ordinary man. He was the king of Judea kingdom. The shroud, coffin, and all other items for his funeral might be the most expensive and luxurious in the Judea kingdom. The funeral service must have been huge and solemn since it was that of the king. However, there was no one who regretted for him. Compared to the tremendous size and formality of the funeral, Jehoram, who died to no one's regret, was nothing but a pitiful person. God did not regret the death of Jehoram, who acted like God himself, at all. The same goes to the King Herod Agrippa, the Tetrarchy first in the Acts, chapter 12 of New Testament. Herod Agrippa gained the favor of a Roman emperor at the time and practically ruled all the Palestinian land. Herod Agrippa, who took the throne as an Edomian, non-Jewish, beheaded Jacob, who let Jesus be nailed and died on the cross, to gain favor of Jewish people. Furthermore, he even killed Peter too. People of two trade port cities of Phoenicia, Tyre and Sidon, were 100% dependent on the neighborhood country, Israel, for their food. But Herod Agrippa stopped selling food to Tyre and Sidon all of a sudden. Although the people in Tyre and Sidon could get in trouble, he didn't care at all. He also thought, just like Herod, he took control of life and death of the people. The leaders of Tyre and Sidon, in danger of food shortage, tried to buy favor of Herod Agrippa and sent groups of people to hail Herod when he preached, making him feel like he was God. With those great cheer, Herod Agrippa acted as if he was God. And the Acts 12:23 testifies the last day of that Herod Agrippa that an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. A Greek noun, skolex, means a worm, germ, or especially a maggot. Herod Agrippa lived his life in luxury and wealth. Although he acted like the Lord, he ended his life in misery, eaten by maggots, with no one's regret. As such, the evaluation of the Bible on the man who neglects God is such cold. all the story of the Bible is not limited to the Bible itself. Stories of the Bible transcend the time and place and repeats itself in our current times. A person who might be on everyone's lips for the past several months is Yu Byung-un, the leader of a religious denomination called Salvation. We had a tragic accident of the sinking of Seowol-ho on 16th of April. Out of the 476 passengers, 294 died and 10 missing. It was heart-rending, especially because many of the victims were young high school students who were on their way to a field trip to Jeju-do Island. And Yu Byung-un was an actual owner of Cheongjin Haeun, a ferry company where the Seowol-ho was belonged to. But you disobeyed the summons of the prosecutor's office and ran away under the protection of his members from the temple of so-called Salvation and Kumsuwon. He wasn't a vulgar man in the neighborhood. He was the leader of a Christian denomination called Salvation. That is, he was a religious leader who was supposed to believe in God and the Bible. Even though such a tragic accident happened, and though a lot of people died due to the sinking of the ferry he owned, he just ran away like a vulgar gangster. According to the media report, Yu Byung-un and his children possess a fortune that is unbelievably massive to ordinary people. And they lived like a conglomerate. And per the police report, Yu Byung-un had approximately 3 billion Korean won and 160,000 US dollars in cash when on the loose. Other than that, no one knows how much his property in different names is worth exactly. Needless to say, the source of their massive wealth came from the offerings of members of the Salvation denomination. How hard to look at the Bible. There is no prophet in the Old Testament who accumulated a fortune using the Word of God, nor a disciple in the New Testament who acted like a conglomerate with his family by selling God. If there is, they were the false prophets and false disciples who were irrelevant to God. On the contrary, Yu Byung-un used God and the Bible to gain his wealth. He could quote the Bible, but the God he believed was not the Trinity God who revealed himself through the Bible. He rather acted like the Lord himself in his denomination of salvation. There was possibly no error, and his words were the one of God in his denomination. However, Yu Byung-un came back to us as a dead body. His body was so decayed with full of maggots that everyone, including police officers who saw the body, thought it was a homeless. However, the body was in a jacket with a luxurious brand logo of Loro Piana, which is worth at least 10 million Korean won, and it's not easy to even recognize for ordinary people. Not only that, his pants, underwears, and sneakers were also expensive, luxurious brands. He was wearing expensive items until the very moment of death, but those luxurious things couldn't protect him from being revealed to the world with maggots covering his dead body. Except the members of Salvation, there was no one who regretted when he died with dignity, with no dignity as a human. Moreover, the denomination is said to try to officially distance itself from the deceased to keep their property. Although Yu Byung-un, who acted like God in his denomination, died, living God was testified so well through his death. And today's scripture gives us an answer to how we should live until we have breath. Paul decided that the Corinth church can survive itself after 1.5 years preaching in Corinth, and made his mind to get back to Syria, Antioch, his home. Priscilla and Aquila, helping Paul in Corinth, followed him. Last time, we looked at the fact that Paul went to Jewish synagogue to spread the gospel in such short staying place of Ephesus at Cenchrea, and the huge size of Ephesus in the Roman Empire. Let us look at the verse 19. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. They, in the scripture, indicate Priscilla and Aquila accompanying Paul. At a glance, it seems that Paul let Priscilla and Aquila stay in a port or in the city of Ephesus during his preaching at the Jewish synagogue. But it is not that meaning. From verse 20 to 21, when they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I'll come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. People in Ephesus listened to the gospel preached by Paul, asked Paul to stay longer and deliver the gospel more. Paul, however, decided to go back to Syria, Antioch, and said farewell to them, saying, "I will come back if it is God's will." He didn't mean that he would not come unless there is God's acceptance, but meant in confidence that he'll be back since God will let him do that. And Paul left Ephesus for Antioch, Syria, as planned, and had Priscilla and Aquila remain there in Ephesus. He intended for them to take care of and keep on spreading the words to people in Ephesus who received the gospel. Church is not an institution or a building, but is a group of people who received God as their owner, isn't it? Those people in Ephesus who received the gospel from Paul were the first church in Ephesus. In this sense, Priscilla and Aquila, who remained in Ephesus for Paul, played a role as the center of the first church in Ephesus. As we know well, Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers. At the time, tent making was promising because all the barracks for the Roman soldiers were tents, and the demand in general was high. If Priscilla and Aquila didn't meet Paul in Corinth, they could have become obsessed with making more money and live their life to earn more money. In other words, they would have lived as they desired, thinking themselves as the Lord. However, Priscilla and Aquila, who received the gospel through Paul, changed. Their attitude toward their life changed. They received Jesus Christ as their eternal courtyard for their soul, the goal, and the owner of their life. That's why they followed Paul, giving up their established tent-making business with no regrets. It was to live as a tool of God, a pathway of the gospel, as Paul did. When leaving Ephesus, having Priscilla and Aquila stay there, Paul did not give them even a cent in the name of fund for planting church or missionary activities. Paul himself has never been a rich and only wanted them to stay as witnesses of the Lord for him. That is, Priscilla and Aquila had to make their living by themselves in Ephesus. And Priscilla and Aquila were pleased to obey because their attitude toward and goal of life were renewed. Thanks to their contribution, the church that we call the Ephesus Church could take root until Paul visited back. How God loved Priscilla and Aquila, as shown in Acts chapter 18. They were mentioned four times only in the chapter 18. Even though Priscilla and Aquila physically died, their soul and trace of their life remain alive, wearing the clothes of eternal truth in God's words. In a recent meeting, someone asked me what the first word of resurrected Jesus would be. No one could know the answer to such a nonsense quiz. When asked, the answer was extraordinary. When resurrected, Jesus told the disciples, "Where did you spend the condolence money?" This is a satire that reflects the current trend of the world. 2 months earlier, there was a news report about a lawsuit case between family members for condolence money sent by a conglomerate to his younger sister's funeral. The five children agreed to share the condolence money by 1/5, deducting the cost for funeral service. But the second eldest daughter filed a lawsuit saying some of them hid a portion of billions of money sent from a conglomerate uncle and lost the case. A story that people become as hard as nails before money is already outdated. And now we're living in a society, such cold-blooded world, where brothers and sisters can file a lawsuit for the condolence money sent for their parents' funeral. Therefore, in relation with the first word of resurrected God, that this story can be a talking subject by people means that Christians believing in eternal God can possibly think themselves as God and live as a slave of money. Even if one can earn a fortune in that way, their life have to end with no one's regret and with maggots all over the body. To seek the everlasting truth, life is long enough, regardless of the number of years, because if you follow the truth, you're already connected to the eternity, surpassing the life and death of the body. On the contrary, if you are to live as a slave of money, misunderstanding that you are God, life is so short. Even though you live 100 years in this world, before the eternity, 100-year time is only a moment. That's why you don't have to be discouraged because you're old, and also you can't be arrogant since you're young. Time never waits for man. Even if the man-made clock stops, time keeps flowing. Time goes by right now without stopping even a second. How you live the 1 second in your life can decide your last day. You can die to no one's regret, just as Jehoram or Herod Agrippa, even though protected by the gold and silver. Or you can become an everlasting masterpiece of God, cherished by God, just as Priscilla and Aquila. For a finite man, there's nothing to better care about themselves than having eternal God as the courtyard. Let us pray. Until now, I have misunderstood that I can freely control my life, as if I'm God in my life. I didn't care for my life and just wasted my life without any meaning. Forgive my foolishness. Help me not forget that if I try to make the money and luxurious items as a protection, becoming a slave of money, I would have to die in misery before God with no one's regret. No matter what my job is, what I do, and what I have, all those become the means of God, not a goal of life. Just as Priscilla and Aquila, have them be used a tool of God. When I live here in this land, allow me to live as a witness of love and righteousness of God, so that I can eternally be loved by the Lord and people and become an everlasting masterpiece of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.